Hello, this is Pastor Andy Roberts from Lake Highlands United Methodist Church, and we are so glad that you are listening to our sermon podcast today. You can find out more about Lake Highlands United Methodist Church by visiting our website, lhumc.com. If the message today blesses you, we ask you to consider supporting our church through a financial gift. We hope that today's message will help you become a more devoted follower of Jesus Christ who loves God and loves people.
Would you rise in body and spirit as you're able for the reading of today's scripture, which comes to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 18. Since then we have such a hope, we act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the old covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We hear about how to love God with our soul, and the scripture that was selected to highlight this comes from a letter from Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. And how we hear today, so beautifully described by Miss Stephanie during children's message, about how in Christ the veil is removed, how we have immediacy of a relationship with Jesus Christ, and how we are changed in degrees of glory to glory, to become more like God, more like Jesus. But how, though, we have to remember this is not our work. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And how we join in with God for this transformation, this work of spiritual life, this life of the soul that God invites us to. And all this, we ask, well, why are we doing this? Well, this comes because God loves us first. And God loves us so much that we want to respond to God. And how we are here today, taking time from probably a busy season for about an hour to sit and worship, to worship God. And how God is so worthy and beyond worthy of all of our praise and all the time that we have. And we hear about soul today, and we kind of wonder, how do we even describe soul? So you see, what is being transformed from glory to glory? Is it our body? In some ways it may be, but writers have thought about the soul, and the Hebrew word for soul is hard to translate, and it's gone through various iterations through the Greek translation as well. And what we can understand is that the soul is our life being. It's the part of us that some think will last beyond our physical bodies, that will be associated and united with our new spiritual body upon the resurrection, and that the soul carries the DNA of our personality, of who we are, and all the experiences and memories that we've had. That may be one way to think about what our soul is. And so in the transformation we hear about in 2 Corinthians then, we can think about the soul being transformed to become more like that of Christ. And how we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We can't do this on our own. And by no means can we save ourselves. And I have heard yesterday from Reverend Joe Stabile, who led the contemplated prayer retreat here at church. And I just want to share what he said. Nothing we do can make God love us more. Nothing we do can make God love us less. And many spiritual Christian thinkers have also shared, and also scriptures share, that God loves us unconditionally. And so the transformation comes as a gift from the Holy Spirit on inviting us to draw closer to God in the deep relationship of love through our soul. In thinking about how to cultivate the soul or how to talk about it, I thought about making the analogy between the soul as like a garden or the soul as like soil on the ground. And I want to share with you a few photos I have. If we could show that right now. Oh yes, there it is. Okay. So yeah, go ahead and show the series of the four photos. This was my husband's garden a few years ago when we were serving two rural churches in Texas. And my husband, Jeffrey Peel, Reverend Jeffrey Peel, is a great gardener. And I just simply love it. I just enjoy looking at the plants. I'm not a gardener, but I'm not blessed with that talent. But I love the richness of the green of plants and flowers growing. And how I know that soil needs to be cultivated. They need to turn the soil. There need to be fertilizer. And right away, without any kind of background in agriculture or gardening, one knows that weeds will come up quickly. And how we can water, but we can't overwater. Different kinds of plants need different kinds of care. And so I was just thinking back to this about maybe that's a way for us to think about our souls. Our souls are like ground that's the soil that needs to be staying fertile. And we need some water from God, and we need some light from Jesus. We need to have each other. We need to have somebody to help us, maybe hold our hand and help to explain part of scripture to us when we are having just don't know what that means. We need a small group of friends to hold us accountable, and how we need one another. There's a spiritual writer I came across, his name is Fred Vanson. He wrote a book also touching on the soil. The title of the book is Soil and Sacrament, a spiritual memoir about food and faith. And what he wrote, his quote was, "The soil is portal to a whole new world." And I think about that is perhaps our souls, though we can't touch our souls, but we have expressions of our souls and personalities, and we may know, well, somebody in our family, oh, so-and-so, yeah, they're a good storyteller, or so-and-so is a good artist, or we might have people in our family, like myself, so-and-so always runs late. So that's part of our souls and the expression of who we are, and part of that is We are celebrated because God has made us unique. God celebrates us. And how we turn to God is like we are the soil of the field, that we need God's water and God's light and God's nourishment through the scripture, through prayer, through class meetings, through worship, and through taking the time to say, I am letting go of everything right now, and the only one who is the most utmost importance to my attention right now, but which should be my attention all the time, is God Almighty, Lord Jesus Christ. We are here to worship God. It has also been taught that the things of the church do help us, we hope, to be formed spiritually, for our souls to yearn toward God, for God to continue to shine God's light onto us, that we see Jesus more clearly day by day, that we hope to become more like Jesus. Not that we get the glory, although the byproduct is that we do share with Christ's glory, that we grow perhaps spiritually more radiant. And something in us over time, we grow and we have more joy, or we look past to see how we were before in terms of our souls and how we relate with God, with one another. We might be able to look back and then say, Lord, I have grown. Thank you for helping me to grow. Thank you for helping my soul to grow. And we think of all that together, and where are we left with now? What we're left with is for God to share with us, to tell us to continue, good and faithful servant, continue to tend to the soil of our hearts, the soil of our soul, continue and do not give up. If, let's say, the vegetable fruits don't really come, they don't grow, they don't do well 1 year, you know what? Let's be patient. Let's be patient with ourselves and receive God's compassion for us and for us to let go of judging ourselves and for us to say, you know, God, this was a rough season. This is a rough season, but yet underneath it all, God is still at work, helping us to be knit together, helping us to be made more whole, for our souls to have more fullness of life, for us to be able to participate more with one another, for us to want to be more in community in some respects, and in other times we perhaps crave more solitude with God. This spiritual life is an ongoing journey as our souls are getting tilled and getting fertilized and changed and transformed. Not by our doing, not because of what we do in terms of saving ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. But God invites us to join in with God's work in us and around us, how we join in with God to say, Holy Spirit, make me brand new. Make my soul to be a lover of your soul and no other. Doesn't mean that we do not love people, but we want to love God completely and fully and letting go of anything and everything else. In so doing, in giving up and following Jesus, Jesus pours back into us. It's that paradox of tendering to our soul is in fact God working first in us. But we always have the decision-making power to say, no, God. And I would say some of us, I would say, I won't say some of us. I said, I've done that before. I said, no, God, I'm not going to do that, even though you asked me to do that. And that's part of my soul process at the time where I realized that, you know what? I probably should follow God better then. But at the same time, I'll let go and say, God, our relationship is a relationship. And our relationship with God individually and together as a church is a relationship that goes through the joys and challenges and storms and the fertile soil. And sometimes it's just not that fertile. But God says to us to hang in there because the Holy Spirit has us. I mean, the Holy Spirit holds us together when we don't feel like we are put together well at whatever season of life. Holy Spirit continues to nurture and breathe life into our souls and our innermost being and helps us to continue to grow and blossom and grow new green leaves, new flowers, and how we have one another in the garden as well. If we expand the imagery of the garden to say, well, it's not just me in the garden, it's all of us in the garden. And we can expand that to say our souls are not just the souls in this church, but the souls are the people that God invites us to invite. God invites us to invite. God invites us to let people know about Jesus and how some do not yet have the opportunity to get to know Jesus. How we invite them to come and share in the richness of God's word and God's life. Through this community called the church, and how we are part of this beautiful creation together, co-joiners and co-creators with God, with the Holy Spirit. First is to realize that God invites us to join in continuously with God at work. And the second is to realize that our souls grows as we serve one another. Our soul grows closer to God as we also serve and love our neighbors. There's a next sermon series. We will talk about how to love our neighbors, and we'll save that for the next segment. But for now, for today, perhaps this week, kids, you might think of your soul or who you are as a bright light, where you see Jesus as light without the veil, and how we all, children and adults alike, we might think, well, okay, I'm in this garden, Maybe, you know, what plant will I like to be? Or what am I right now? How do I grow? And the richness of the images of simple things as planting and how we see things grow. It takes patience, doesn't it? It takes patience for us to be patient with ourselves and with God to go through the growth process, to say, God, I want to be like you more. I just don't know how. Or I want to be more loving, but I'm just not that loving that other day. Or I really want to help someone out, but I don't have the resources to help them out right now. What can I do? What can I do to connect with your soul, with my soul, God? And how do I share who I am, the true essence of who I am, with the people you invite me to meet? Even though it could be a little uncomfortable or sometimes downright scary. But how God reaches to us to say, dearly beloved child of mine, we are precious in the sight of God, and God will help us to continue to grow our souls and transform us to become more like Jesus. And we have to just be patient. But there are things we can do to prepare. We continue to study God's word. We continue to let go of the distractions that keep us from a relationship with God or a deepening relationship with God. And in the daily course of our lives, whether we are bathing our toddler children or we're washing dishes or running an errand and making food to take to a neighbor who is in need perhaps, in all these responsibilities and these acts of love and service, God is shaping our soul and helping us to tend to our souls as we work in God's grace to help other people to know that they are loved, to know that we love them, to know that God loves them. And so today's message is loving God with all of our soul, with all that who we are. And how do we do that? It's up to you. All we have to say, day, noon, night, and day again, is to say, yes, Lord, I am willing. I am willing to follow you. Please help me to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit to become more like Jesus. And show me, at this point in my life, show me what you would like me to do to continue to nurture the soil and the garden of my soul. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, thank you so much for bringing life to us, for sharing with us how to love you with our hearts, minds, strength, and soul. Thank you for speaking your messages of love and hope and telling each of us that you love us very deeply. Guide us into a deeper relationship with you and with one another so that we may share the good news of Jesus Christ with more of our classmates, more children, and more adults, that all may come to receive salvation from you, Lord. In the holy name of Christ, we pray. Amen.